9 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
It is Labor Day weekend. It's a three-day weekend. And that means this is the hump part of the weekend. Have you been having humps? Weather with Dr. Dave.
Happy Labor Day weekend. From Sterling on Sunday. It's Sterling every damn night. At least we're not the Jerry Lewis telethon.
On I-90, I-91, welcome. This is Sterling every damn Sunday. I-80, I-4 in Florida. 5, the 101 California. Welcome to Sterling every damn night. Welcome. It's a giant radio show. We've been on for 10 years, and that's because at this hour, nobody notices. There's no one in management who's sober, no one in management who really cares. They figure they turn it off. They put on this software called Wide Orbit, which is appropriate because it just makes executives fatter. Since they don't have to actually stand up and do anything, the Wide Orbit computer handles everything. But this show is not on a computer. This show is live on Memorial Day Sunday. You and me in the car. And I know what you're doing right now. You have decided the smartest thing you ever decided, which was to get in your car and leave a day early. Let's beat the traffic and leave a day early. And you actually convinced your family and children and your current spouse that this was a good plan. Meanwhile, I know what you're doing. You didn't want to deal with it anymore. You didn't want to deal with the relatives in the vacation home. You didn't want to deal with old Charlie who was going to visit you down the shore at the lake house in the Poconos. You didn't want to deal with people going up Shasta. You didn't want to have to deal with any of that. And you're like, enough. And you made some sort of nonsense story about traffic. Nonsense story about traffic. They believe you saved your family from the traffic by leaving now. Well, here I am, 14 inches away from you. I'm 14 inches away from you, and you're 14 inches away from me. This is the magic of radio, ladies and gentlemen. It's the magic of radio. My name is Walter M. Sterling. Odds are you've never heard me before, because this station has done nothing to promote this show. Nothing. And your word of mouth vanishes by lunch tomorrow. Oh, yeah, it was really interesting. I got to tell my friends about this. And you forgot. Part of the reason you forgot is that your brain was made soft by the lack of idiots failing to turn on air conditioning. I can't believe it. And then I read an article in some obscure publication about how we can wean ourselves off of air conditioning if we really want to. As though it's good. As though it's a goal. That is not one of my goals. None of my goals involve weaning myself off of air conditioning. My goal is the following. See if it makes sense to you. My goal is to have an empty home, an empty apartment where I'm alone, because aloneness is my fish tank. That is where I swim happiest, safest, gleeful. I am happiest in the fish tank of solitude. Just me and that bubbler over there. What's the deal with that bubbler? That looks like a pirate chest. Bubbler. I am happiest alone in the fish tank, the solitude of the fish tank, in front of a large television set. But frankly, it doesn't have to be that large. If I'm alone with my iPhone, I can watch whatever I want. Oh, what's the magic phrase there? Whatever I want. No negotiating. I don't have to negotiate what to watch. And where's the thermostat? Low as it'll go. And you know, there's a secret code on most thermostats where you can make it even lower than most people think it'll go. very useful in hotel rooms. What? What did he say? Yes, even in hotel rooms, you can lower the thermostat lower than you think if you know which sequence of buttons to push, but I won't deal with that now. There I am in my solitude room. What do? I pull down all the shades and blinds for no reason. It isn't like anybody can see in or care, but I do that. It makes me feel more alone. And then the thermostat's as low as it can be, and I start to watch exactly what I want without apology, explanation, or logic. It starts usually with Nazi UFOs. There was a secret program that the Nazis did that involved time travel and UFOs. I'll study that. Then I'll evolve to a meta situation, and I'll watch how the pyramids were built. And no matter how many times I have watched videos of how the pyramids were built, the conclusion's always the same. Nobody really knows.
What?
Nobody really knows. Wait, I just wasted 13 minutes of my life to get to nobody really knows how the pyramids were built. Of course no one knows how the pyramids were built. That's because no one wants to acknowledge they were not built when they thought they were built. They were built long before that by people with anti-gravity devices and giants. It was a special combination of anti-gravity devices and giants. And then I watch Pawn Stars for a while, but I'm tired of it after 23 seasons. I think I got it. And why don't they ever have antique radios, antique microphones on Pawn Stars? It's always the same stuff. It's guns. I have no interest in antique guns. Do you? It's old Rolling Stone posters. Okay, sort of interesting. It's knives. A lot of daggers, a lot of knives. But that's it. You know, I never see an antique toaster. I never saw an antique radio, an antique dishwasher, anything I could relate to. And then I'm overwhelmed with guilt. Does the dishwasher need to be emptied? Yes, it does. Why? How do I know? It always needs to be emptied. And that guilt lingers over me for 1 or 2 hours as I sit there in my very cold apartment, my very cold house, and studying Storage Wars. Now, the great thing about every show that I watch is that I can start and stop at any time. There's no loss of plot in any binge watching I do. What I see, I've been studying Elisa Cuthbert, Cuthbert, I can't pronounce her name, a Canadian actress who was in many fine teen movies and television series in the early 2000s. I watched her. I found her absolutely fascinating.
Buffy, maintaining a normal social life as a Slayer is problematic at best.
This is the 90s, the 1990s in point of fact, and I can do both. Clark Kent has a job. I just want to go on a date.
Well, I suppose it was a fairly slim lead.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And look, I won't go far, okay? If the apocalypse comes, beat me.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Has nothing to do with Elisa Cush. I'll get her name. But it does have to do with the 90s and teen television shows in the 90s. Dawson's Creek, One Tree Hill, 90210, Melrose Place. That was the zenith of television viewing. That was the zenith. There you go. Well, now we're confronted with a number of things. There are two groups of us. There are people who actually have gone out on this Labor Day weekend, have gone forth, and are going to restaurants and socializing and being with other people. And then there's us, who stays at home. Stays in the apartment for 3 days, stays at the home for 3 days. Yeah, you go ahead to the shore. You go ahead to the lake. It's fine. I'll be fine. It's more than fine. We'll be in freaking nirvana. We'll be in heaven alone. In heaven. But those are the two groups with two very different sets of problems. Those of us who choose to stay at home in an air-conditioned home, our problem is convincing people that we're in fact perfectly happy. The other group has a bigger problem, which is how the hell to tip. Because tipping has become much more complicated. And you and I will share that coming up in just seconds. What is this? What is this show, this very strange show? I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Justice served, jealousy at the bikini bar. Strippers on the loose, later. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. People who take their pets into restaurants, you've gone too far for Becky.
Especially when you put them on the table.
It was a cat, right?
Doesn't matter. It's a pet. Who cares if it's a tortoise? It shouldn't be on the table. Am I right? A goldfish. Keep it at home.
Coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the Long Island gym owner who was convicted of 3 homicides and suspected in the disappearance of another individual. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Shootout at the pharmacy drive-thru. People at Walmart, later, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Kat Timpf.
My favorite thing is when I post a picture of myself that is funny, specifically because I look bad in it, and then men weigh in to tell me I look bad in it, as if it hadn't occurred to me. Like, I'd rather be ugly than idiot.
Hi, I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here with stories of living with our 8 kids in an old house in Delaware.
And sometimes we even leave that house and go to a restaurant.
More and more people are bringing dogs, their pets, into restaurants and other places. I'm kind of all right with it. But something happened this week. It's gone too far for
you. Also, you are not kind of all right with it. You don't like it, and you're not going to pin this on me. We're going to talk about this, but you're going to be honest about this and not play good cop, bad cop here.
Well, I don't know. It started with people bringing their dogs onto outdoor patio areas.
Right.
All right. But it has progressed, and I'm noticing it more and more. People are bringing their dogs, not service dogs, not anything like that, just their pets, into the indoor part of the restaurant. Why
right.
are we doing this?
And it's not even as if they're bringing their pet in and it's, you're bringing a furry animal with an exposed, pardon me, back end that just did its business outside. You picked it up in a baggie, threw it in the trash can with your unwashed hands, walked in here,
wow.
And then that little doggy poo sat its behind down in a restaurant chair, on the restaurant floor, in the restaurant that's supposed to be clean.
Tell them about the cat.
It doesn't matter if it's a cat or a dog or what, but this weekend, I'm sitting, and I see this little kitty cat with a leash come in. Okay, now, number one, I'm allergic to cats. Number two, the leash is long enough that the cat comes to my table.
Yeah, can roam from table to table.
Sits at my feet in a sneezing stupor while I'm trying to eat my food. But then they pick up the cat when they're done with their food. When they're done, they come and get the cat that's at my feet, pick it up, and put it on the table. Now, I don't care how clean you think that table is once the little restaurant girl comes.
What? The dining table?
The dining table. And no matter how much she's going to wipe it with her little rag, then she's got kitty cat poop schmear and hair on the rag. It's just gross. It's disgusting. And I see little tiny lap dogs that people put on the table. But the cat really got me this weekend because why? Why do you have to put your cat on a leash and take it to a restaurant to sit next to me so that I can sneeze?
If you have a comment for Becky, find her on Instagram, Just Being Mom.
And if you're looking for my dear sweet husband, you can always find him at the Dan Gaffney Show.
Dan and Becky, Sterling Every Damn Night.
I don't think that Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's are hard holidays for single people or anybody. I think they're easy because in order to participate in those holidays, all I have to do is walk outside. I can feel all Thanksgiving-y and Christmassy and New Year's Eve-y just by going outside and listening and smelling and feeling the scent and the aroma and the sounds of the city. These are the hell holidays, because in order to participate in Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day, I have to be invited in. Like Dracula, I have to be invited in. I can't just walk into your backyard for the barbecue. You have to invite me. I can't just walk to your tennis club and start playing tennis, or your swim club, or any thing that has private, no trespassing, or private property. I can't. Even to go to the beach, anywhere, as a single person, especially a man, you're creepy. Very uncomfortable situation. These are the hard holidays. That's why it's easier, isn't it, to stay at home all weekend, to sit in the car with the air conditioning blasting all weekend and eat. I grew up in Jersey. In Jersey, it is a great tradition on all major holidays to take that dinner and go to the car. In Jersey, we would drive to the hot dog stand at Five Points in Union. We would go to any drive-through, drive-in, and eat in the car. That's my tradition on these holidays. Yeah, let's go to Five Points and eat hot dogs in the car. Sounds great. With time and money, my mother refused. Over time, my mother had no more interest in stepping down and eating in the car. She was going to eat in her proper dining room alone if necessary. She would often stay home alone. And she was perfectly happy, and we were perfectly happy to leave her there. The other group are the people who are invited in. But misfits like us, we were never invited in. We have never been invited in. In life, we are the last to be called to the team. In life, we aren't picked last. No, 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 no. The gym teacher has to say, hey, you go on that team. We're sent to the team. We're assigned to the team. We're never even picked last. This is true of our entire lives. But it's magnified dramatically on these weekends. The weekends demanding an invitation. This is who we are. This is who we are. All right, here's my number. Let's talk. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9255.
Hi, this is Dom Giordano. Get ready for our Politics and Pints with Donald Trump Jr. Everyone is talking about it. Be with me on September 12th as we talk about the election, politics, and all things Trump. It's huge. Politics and Pints with Donald Trump Jr. September 12th, Scottish Rite Auditorium in Collingswood. Get your tickets now at 1210WPHT.com. That's 1210WPHT.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6481. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6481. That's 800-575-6481. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Hi, this is Dom Giordano. It's that time for the Rescue Natural Supplement Labor Day Sale, the ultimate celebration of savings and well-being. Right now, all Rescue supplements are slashed up to 70% off, plus enjoy free shipping, too. So whether you're searching for immune support, joint care, heart health, or a youthful glow, Rescue has health essentials for everyone. Take a break. Celebrate your workplace achievements with savings on a probiotic, omega-3s, multivitamins, and so much more. Call them at 800-26-ALIVE.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Ultimately, you got the car back.
Yes, ma'am.
And you say it was damaged.
Yes, ma'am.
Who cares?
Happy Labor Day weekend from Sterling on Sunday. And Sterling, every damn night. See you back at work on Thursday.
Stephen the baker and Selena the ballerina, even though you both work at the baking shop, JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, the official bakery of Sterling on Sunday. Welcome, Stephen. Welcome, Selena. How busy were you this Labor Day weekend? I'm shocked you're open. Are you open every day of the weekend?
Great to be on with you, Walter. Yes, happy Labor Day. The bakery is always busy during the holidays. I like to stay open, particularly for a holiday, and a Monday holiday is great because people are kind of like taking it easy. They want to try to find places that are open. A lot of places close on these holidays, and I usually get a lot of walk-in business. People are looking for a place to stop because they're traveling through the town, so JB Bakery is a landmark bakery right off of New Jersey Turnpike. So right now, the peach donuts and the strawberry and the blueberry stuffed donuts, the donut stuffed with seasonal fruit, they are the ones to be the most popular at this time. And we're also making mini cheesecakes as well for a variety of different flavors. Do you like cheesecake?
Yes, I like cheesecake, Stephen. Yes.
Well, we're making up this wonderful recipe that uses simple ingredients and Philadelphia cream cheese as always. So I'm happy to share that with you this evening.
You have mini cheesecakes. I've seen the photos on Facebook. JB Bakery on Facebook. You can see their handiwork on Facebook. It's worth seeing because I've never seen such appealing-looking, tiny cheesecakes. They're fun to see. I can't imagine how decadent, but you just mentioned something I didn't realize from the JB Bakery Facebook page. These are in different flavors?
Yeah, we're doing different flavors. Seasonal right now, there's a peach, there's an apple because fall's coming up, there's an Oreo. And definitely going to be making pumpkin as soon as it cools, you know, the weather cools a little bit. They're very easy to eat. They're tiny, but you would be surprised because you could get a lot of good bites out of them. They're, Selena and I love to share
I could
one,
get a lot of good kind of, calories out of them. I could get a lot of damn calories sure. out of them, Stephen.
Small bites, then. You got to take small bites, Walter.
All right.
And you got to have somebody to share with. That's for sure.
Yes. Now, more importantly, Selena, have you had to work all weekend?
Hi, Walter. I got a little bit of a break, but, you know, Sterling on Sunday, Sterling every damn night, that's usually my break. So a little bit of time off this weekend. I went to a party for my brother yesterday, so I wasn't working, but I'm still getting all the posts for the Facebook and Instagram scheduled for the week because I've got school starting, so I'll be very busy with that, too. So I've been working on the social media just now before we came on.
Which of the cheesecakes should I investigate?
So I would say, I mean, a lot of people like the Oreo because it's a classic. I like the peach one the best because it's seasonal. We won't have that one for very much longer. I could see them making the Oreo again, and I know they're going to continue the apple through the fall. I'm looking forward to the pumpkin one, but definitely the peach is my favorite right now because it's got those butter crumbs, too, just like the peach crumble that we shared.
Now, the great thing about Stephen is that when he puts together a recipe that you and I can look at, he coaches the steps. It isn't just here's a list of ingredients and here's what to do. He actually gives coaching tips. Try this, don't do this, let me suggest this. It's really very friendly. It's the most user-friendly recipes I've ever seen and very personal. Plus, they send pictures of Selena and Steven, so you get to see your cooks, your chefs, your bakers, excuse me, your bakers. It's been a long day. Now listen, the way you get the cheesecake mini, these are mini cheesecakes. You live alone, you're listening alone, that's great, that's fine. These are mini cheesecakes. They are for one. All you have to do is send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Walter M. Sterling, Sterling, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And just write recipe. Say you want the recipe for the mini cheesecakes. He's going to get them to me tomorrow. You going to get them to me tomorrow?
Yeah, Walter, I'm baking at the moment, and I'm getting ready for Labor Day. So I'll get that recipe over to you tomorrow.
Or Tuesday? When? Make it easy on yourself. You want to have it ready Tuesday?
Yeah, I got it right over to you. I do want to let the listeners know that, Walter, the best thing to do is to use that graham cracker crust recipe that I use for the key lime pie, because that graham cracker crust will give the cheesecake a nice, beautiful bottom. And when you bite into it with a fork, you know, when you dig into it with a fork, the cheesecake and the graham cracker crust go together beautifully.
I thank you. Now, Selena, how's this relationship going on? They're not engaged yet. They've been dating for a very long time. In a parent's worldview, they've been dating for centuries. They've been dating for a very long time. They're making noises about getting married, I think. I don't know for sure. What's the status here, Selena?
Well, I think you summed it up pretty well, Walter. We're not engaged. Some people ask us, although we didn't get anybody asking us yesterday, surprisingly, at my family's party. But a lot of people were, you know, talking about the relationship. Stephen was lighting off fireworks, and people were asking who invited him. So we're still working on it a little bit, and, you know, everything's really busy with the holiday, and I'm in school, so I don't know what we'll be doing. But, you know, there's that invisible clock, but that's on Stephen, not me. I'm just a girl. I'm just the girl.
Was Stephen there? You said he lit off fireworks?
He was there, yes, and he lit off a bunch of fireworks for the kids, which they loved.
Yeah, I'm sure they love, but did he have permission to light these fireworks? Which are completely illegal in New Jersey? Completely illegal in New Jersey?
Well, so I didn't say the party was in New Jersey. I will not confirm or deny on the air if the party was in New Jersey.
Yeah. But the parents were like, who is this guy?
As a joke, but yes. Everyone was okay with it.
How many people were at this party?
Probably around 30 people.
And have you checked out Molinari's Pizza yet?
No, we haven't.
All right, this is your job. Listen to me carefully. One of you needs to go to TikTok and search J-U-M-O. This is the daughter of the owners of Molinari's Pizza in Jersey, at the Jersey Shore. And after you study these videos, Stephen, after you study these videos, you will want whatever Molinari's Pizza offers.
Walter, and I really believe, enjoy making my own pizza, though.
Trust me on this. I believe that once you study the business of Molinari's Pizza, Stephen, as a businessman, you will say, we should merge with them. You would then have the front line of all known Jersey foods under your command. And as a man who may or may not one day get married to a very smart, beautiful woman, she will want things. And if you have two cash flows, you might be able to provide them.
Well, I've always considered opening up a donut shop or a bakery or a pizza shop on the boardwalk. I like to get the seasonal business, so I think that's a smart business move. I know Selena would be right, you know, standing right next to me to do such a thing. It's always good to branch out and brand the name. So that looks like my move that I would do.
All right, so now you have a homework assignment. I'm grateful that you are our official baker. They do not pay for this time. This is not an advertisement. This is what the social media people refer to as earned media. JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Justice served. Jealousy at the Bikini Bar. Strippers on the loose later. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the Long Island gym owner who was convicted of three homicides and suspected in the disappearance of another individual. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Shootout at the pharmacy drive-thru. People at Walmart. Later, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by history buffs.
When was America last great?
For me, I would say the turning point for our country was 1913, when we passed the 17th Amendment.
Boom, boom, Hollywood, Sterling Every Damn Night.
There's Boom Boom Hollywood, actually in Hollywood. Mateus, now you have your own jingle. How do you feel?
I think that's fabulous.
Sean, is it possible to play that again so that he can absorb it and live with it this weekend? Isn't that fabulous? You know what? We like you so much. I'm going to email it to you so you can put it on your answer as your outgoing message.
I can't wait. I must admit, though, the best jingles I've heard on radio are on this show. So it's really a joy to hear them. Although, well, I have been spending most of the broadcast trying to figure out how to get hotel rooms down to the lowest possible temperature with a strange combination of codes. But, you know,
I'll tell you
theaters,
how.
Movie
Do you
theaters.
Want to know? Wait,
yeah?
I'll tell you how. I'll save you all the trouble. It's a cheat. On YouTube, search Override Hotel Thermostat. And you'll see multiple videos showing you exactly how to do it. It's very easy, totally legal. You just set it to where you want. And please go ahead. Now tell me about the movie you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about Reagan, which is a biopic that I was very interested in seeing, because when you have a U.S. president that's that charismatic, it's ripe for making a movie about, because his own life was fairly interesting, dramatic, and touched by Hollywood since he had been a film actor. And although most people would like to perhaps joke about Bedtime for Bonzo, I encourage them to see King's Row to see a really fine performance from Ronald Reagan. But that's what he did. This is Ronald Reagan is played by Dennis Quaid. And this is based on a book from 2006 called The Crusader, Ronald Reagan and the Fall of Communism by Paul Kengor. And I really wish this movie could have been better than it was. I wanted it to be better than it was, because here's this dynamic American president. His story is interesting. Like any U.S. president, you can't please everyone, but he was truly a great communicator. What a great subject for a movie. In this movie, his wife is played by Penelope Ann Miller, playing Nancy Reagan. Earlier tonight, you're talking about the golden age of 80s movies. For teenagers, and C. Thomas Howell was part of that generation. He played Casper Weinberger in this movie.
That's fun.
You can believe him as Casper Weinberger.
I'm thrilled he has work.
Yeah, right, and so is he. Jack Warner is represented by Kevin Dillon. That's Matt's brother. Leslie Ann Down, who I adore, plays Margaret Thatcher, and I couldn't believe it as I was watching it on the screen. And they even bring in Pat Boone to play Reverend George Otis, which is a funny little moment in the picture. Anyway, here is a movie that has epic sweep, and it's a truly great story, and yet the costumes are horrible, the period music is wrong, it's just ghastly. And Ronald Reagan had a very distinct tailored style with his custom-made shirts and beautiful sack suits, and on Dennis Quaid they look tight and small, and it's really unfortunate, because it draws me right out of the story. I mean, they have everything else that's so detailed, especially after the 80s. That stuff is great. But it really is horrible. And I'm going, how could this happen? This is a great and wonderful story for a movie. And yet they managed to screw that up. Yet, I have to tell you, Walter, I saw this with an audience. I bought a ticket yesterday to see it, to talk about it tonight, because there was no press show. There was no marketing to press for this picture. And the audience sitting next to me from the time of Reagan's diagnosis with Alzheimer's until Nancy was bidding him goodbye at his casket, they were completely bawling all the way through the picture. There was applause at the end, and for the first time in a first-run movie that I've been to since COVID, the audience was nearly sold out, and that's something I haven't seen in a long time. But I'm wondering, did they see the same movie I did? I was sitting in the theater with them. Anyway, not a great movie, although I think Dennis Quaid did the best that he could. Penelope Ann Miller was probably the best in it of all. And John Voight is in this picture as a Russian spy. And he's recalling that they were watching Reagan since the 50s, since he became involved with the Screen Actors Guild. And as John Voight, as this phony Russian spy, the whole thing is recounting this all in flashback and how the Russians had been watching him. The frame story is ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. And it's really a shame. There needs to be a good movie about Reagan. This is not it.
Now you've cleared up something. My sister's birthday was yesterday. And I asked her, what did she do? And she just wrote Reagan. And I'm like, who, what? She lives in Texas. I've never heard her mention a friend named Reagan. And I wrote back again. I'm like, what? And she just wrote Reagan. Now I know what she did. If she had given me the common courtesy of writing the movie Reagan, I would have been up to speed. Now I can ask her how much she didn't like it. But what you're saying is very interesting. But the simple fact is that the reason the people around you were crying is because the memory of Ronald Reagan in reality, rather than the reality of the movie, is that he was beloved and respected. And with the passage of time, oh, did I say the passage of time? Oh, my God, I'm sorry. The truth of time, we look at him more and more fondly and with greater and greater respect and can sit back and say, you know what? He was a great president because he was able to do two things that a president's supposed to be able to do, make decisions and be decisive. And the other thing is communicate those decisions. He was a brilliant speaker like John Kennedy. He was a brilliant speechmaker, but that shouldn't be a star. That should be the job. That's the job. All right, Mateus, Boom Boom Hollywood, thank you for being on Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
It is so exciting to be alone with you. Because you and I are alone on these holidays. These are the happiest times. Weather, Dr. Dave.
Happy Labor Day weekend from Sterling on Sunday. And Sterling every damn night. And oh yeah, here's summer goodbye. 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 Kiss summer goodbye.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling at night.
I'm going to give again some tips on being a criminal. Not that I've ever done any time, well, at least hard time, you know, for a long stint. No, I've not done that. But I have some ideas. I've watched a lot of crime dramas. Car chase, Louisville, Kentucky. You may say it's Louisville or Louisville, but they call it Louisville. The Metro Police released the names of the suspect and man involved in attempted carjacking and shooting at a Walmart pharmacy drive-thru. Shooting happened Wednesday. It all began as two men led state troopers on a chase on Gene Snyder Freeway. Apparently, almost like Los Angeles car chases. Happens all the time on the Gene Snyder in Louisville. Police say that the gentleman crashed the car and the driver was arrested, but the passenger, he went amok and tried to do some carjacking. Randall Allen, and yeah, he wants to be called Randall, tried to carjack a poor woman's car in the pharmacy drive-thru. Pulls out his weapon of choice and exchanged some gunfire. Randall was hit. taken away. Both driver and alleged carjacker were caught with, well, meth. And obviously, numerous charges from the car chase and the carjacking. Here's a tip. If you're involved in a car chase, don't go to Walmart. There's several reasons why. Number one, it's surrounded by police constantly because there's a lot of mayhem that happens at your Walmart. It's so busy there that police departments frequently have an officer stationed near any local Walmart. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling every damn night.
888-688-WALT, the dilemmas of tipping. Because now, if you're the other group of misfits who actually go out on a three-day weekend, nothing I encourage, you and I are faced with an array of new opportunities to throw money away. Did you hear that? I said array and then away. Differences on the SATs. Array and away. Répétez, s'il vous plaît, en français. Now I go to buy a cupcake, and they want me to pay with my card slapped against a white screen, a Macintosh-type screen, a white screen. I slap it on there, and the first thing it says is, tip. Oh, pay attention. I just bought a cupcake and maybe a cup of coffee, and now it's saying, do I want a tip 5%, 20%, 25%, or custom amount? Like, what? No, I don't want to tip anything. The only time I believe I should tip is when I sit down to a meal, preferably at a diner, preferably at a 24-hour diner, like the Liberty Bell Diner, preferably a 24-hour diner. Because anything less than a 24-hour diner is, what do we call it? What? What? A hobby. That's not a diner. You close at 2 throughout the Midwest. What a joke. You close at 2 throughout the Midwest, or you close at 8. That's a hobby. A diner's supposed to be open 24 hours, 7 days a week. That's a diner. There, I am thrilled, thrilled to give a waitress as big a tip as I can. I am shocked to learn that I thought the standard tip today was 20%, and it's not because I'm grandiose. Those days are long over. If I'm grandiose in a restaurant, I don't get to pay my rent. Therefore, those days are over. But if I'm sitting down at a dinner, a restaurant, a diner, and it's time to tip, I don't even think twice. I'm happy to give a tip, and I always give 20%. If it's closer to a holiday, I'll tip more because it's closer to a holiday. If something extraordinary happened, for example, it was my dining partner's birthday or holiday or something they did extra for our table, I will tip extra from our table. But that's minimum. Now I'm supposed to tip when I buy a cupcake. I'm supposed to tip when I go into most stores where a person is on the other side of a counter and there's a tip bowl. I find it incredibly tacky, tasteless to have a tip bowl. No thanks. And what's that going to do? If I'm at a coffee shop, and I stand in line and I pick up a custom coffee where I know there were many steps involved to make that coffee. Or if I go off menu, what? If I go off menu and ask for extra this or that, then I'm happy to tip that poor kid getting minimum wage on the other side of the counter. I'm happy to do it. At a Dunkin' Donuts or a Starbucks, I'll tip extra if it's an extra drink. But if I'm ordering a black coffee, a grande, verte, if I'm ordering a black coffee and a croissant, I'm not going to tip. No. First of all, it's a time waster. It takes up a lot of time, and it doesn't solve the person's problem because those are always pool tips. Then there are certain jobs where they work for tips, period. That's how they get paid. The valet works for tip, you tip them. You want your car back, you tip them. Minimum, $2 in, $2 out. Minimum. You're in Manhattan, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Sacramento, $5 in, $5 out. That's what you pay. You're wasting money on $35, $40 for 2 hours of parking in a garage. Well, guess what? You got the $5 for the tip. But those dishes bother me. Then hotels have always stumped me. I have never known what to tip in a hotel room, ever. If I'm there for a week and I'm my normal self, is $10 in, under the ashtray when I leave enough? Is it $10 a day, $2 a day? I don't know. These rules about tipping are crazy, but they're getting crazier and crazier and crazier because now we're tipping at drive-thrus. Now we're tipping at McDonald's. And that's crazy. You go to Europe, in most European countries, France, Italy, most European countries, if you tip a waiter, a professional waiter in a fine restaurant, they are insulted because they are professionals. It'd be like tipping a doctor. In their minds, it's no different than tipping a doctor. Tipping dilemmas. Let's talk. Here's my phone number. What? What do you mean his phone number? He's live? Nothing's live at this time. Yes, Mr. 18-Wheeler, Keith Mortensen, Paul, Charlie Green, welcome. Neil Paul, welcome. Judy Paul, welcome. Rebecca Canner, Catherine Arthur, my Midnight Misfits. This is our special weekend of solitude. We are living in the fish tank of solitude. And are we happy? Is the water right? It's just right. It's perfect. We were born to be alone. We thrive being alone. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by George Gilbert.
Get delicious Lancaster brand sirloin, porterhouse, or rib steak for only 79 cents a pound at your Acme Market.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
For our first Florida Story, we're going to go over to the Tampa Bay area. In Clearwater, they have a minor league baseball team. And look, the report on this just blew my mind almost immediately. They say the Clearwater Threshers have a new bat dog. And now I have to look up where the heck's Clearwater. What the heck is a thresher? Like separating wheat? No, a thresher is a kind of shark. Who knew? Florida people, I guess. And so they have this new bat dog. What's a bat dog? I'm kind of sports familiar. I've never seen a bat dog before. Well, I guess at some minor league parks, they throw a bat out there and some dog goes out and gets it. And I don't know if it's like supposed to be functionary or just entertain people while they're warming up. But before the game, this new dog was, you know, trying out his handiwork there. And he got a big applause, but not for the reason they wanted. See him there chasing the bat. He gets distracted, takes off, starts running around the infield. Hey, Mr. Shortstop, let's go over here behind the pitcher's mound while he's doing some warm-ups and drop a deuce. Crowd goes wild.
Unbelievable.
I would like to thank the Florida couple.
Unbelievable.
Videoing this for not cussing.
Oh, my God.
Still going. Dog is still going. Dropping a big long.
Dog
there, finally done.
Wild.
Dropped a
so
good
is this dog.
20-second deuce. So I don't know what else they expected to happen, but that's your first Florida Story. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
And then it's going to get more complicated. As we head toward the holidays, tipping gets more complicated. Now, if you are blessed and live in a building with a doorman, or work in a building with a security guard. Oh, what? A security guard? Hey, are you at 2400 Market Street? Are you listening right now to Sterling every damn Sunday? Is that you? What do I tip the security guard in an office building at Christmas? What's appropriate? You know, I come from a time when the United Parcel driver was given a tip at Christmas. And it was, in my case, we gave him a beautifully wrapped box of Winston, a carton of Winston cigarettes. That's what we gave the UPS driver. Do you tip your regular Amazon driver? Do you tip your regular UPS driver? You bet I tip the mailman. Otherwise, a lot of things are going to be left on the truck for a long time. Yes, I tip the mailman. What do I tip the mailman? $50. That's what I tip the mailman. And when I lived in a doorman building, oh, that was a long time ago. That was before President Biden, and I could afford to live in a doorman building. When I lived in a doorman building, what was the deal? We'd give the, this was in Manhattan, mind you, we'd give the superintendent of the building $500. What? Yes. And then each doorman $100. But I'm sure many people did much more than that. Plus, when I moved in and out, that was $500 right there because, you know, the special time with the elevators. But those are very luxury problems. No one who lives in those buildings should ever complain. But if I went to a restaurant regularly, I would give the maitre d' or the captain or the assistant manager $200 or $300 at Christmas. You're wondering why you're broadcasting from a laundry room now, Walter. It's all coming back. Now, where'd that money go? Oh, yeah, the holidays for tip for superior service. Did you get superior service? No, it seems like I got the same service as everybody else. If you park your car in a regular garage, these are inner city problems. You got to tip the guys who bring out that car every day. But if I park my car in an attended lot anywhere, I'll give the lot guy $5 in and $5 out because I want the car to come back out in a fairly, for me, it's about time. I want the car to come out fast. I don't want them to have parked it in the next county. And I'll even kid them. I'll say that. Listen, here's $5. Don't park it in the next county. And then when I come back out, I'll give them another $5, and I'll still be waiting as though it was in the next county. But tipping is a challenge. And now I'm disturbed about the tipping because it seems omnipresent. It seems everywhere is to go. I really don't want to walk into a Chinese takeout place or a pizzeria takeout place and have to tip. I'm lifting the box. I'm carrying the bags. I've come in and paid. I've stood or sat in a crappy waiting area for the pizza, for the Chinese food, whatever. And I'm supposed to tip. I go into a delicatessen. I ask them to make a sandwich. Am I supposed to tip that? Don't know. Don't understand. Advice, please. Your advice always golden. What would you do? Extra bonus points if you happen to work in the service industry, because all of these tips are a mystery to me. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. It's a very exciting show. Now, look, I have a website. You can learn everything you want about this show. It's the first time you've listened to the show. I understand you've come back from a long weekend. You came a little early because you convinced your family it was all right to come back a little early. And my website is Walter Sterling Show. I'm getting over this rotten cold. Walter Sterling Show. But I feel fine. You know, I feel terrific. WalterSterlingShow.com. And I have an email. That I actually answer, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Every email gets answered. There's Jim in Kansas City. Is it KMOX or KMBZ, Jim?
KMOX, yeah, I listen to KMOX.
It comes in on your molars?
Yeah, it does.
It's a big radio station. Now, do you get excited about the center of town there at Christmas, the beautiful center of town in Kansas City. What's that called?
The Plaza. Power and Light District?
No, the Plaza. The Plaza.
Oh, okay, well, okay.
Right?
Well, the shopping mall is called the Plaza, but there's another area called the Power and Light District, and they light that up.
It's beautiful. I've been there, and it's magnificent.
Yeah. Steve Moore is the general manager over there at KMOX.
You know too much.
So, so about tipping, we disagree on tipping. I think if you go somewhere where they hand you something, they're on their feet and they hand you something across a counter or bring it to your table, you owe them a tip, even if it's just 20 cents. But my beef is the other way around. I always tip large. I tip at least $5 anywhere I go. And, but it's as if you may as well throw your money in the toilet. They never remember anything. They don't care. So I don't. I think that's why people don't tip.
Why do you continue to tip if they don't care?
Well, because it's the right thing to do.
I believe it is the right thing to do, but not if we're standing at a counter. Not if we're standing, because we're equals, aren't we? I am also standing. I've also been in line.
But there's a table. There's tables there and air conditioning, and there's food available, but you just didn't order any.
All right, Jim, I appreciate what you said. 888-688-WALT, that's my number, tipping, and you, Sterling, on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Neil Rogers.
Yeah, that's right. I qualify. I'm a fag. That gives me a leg up, so to speak.
No, you can't. There's no fags in the church.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I want you to get, do we have a bullet? I wish we had a bulletin sounder. There's no fags in the Catholic Church?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm
bye-bye.
So relieved. I feel so much better now.
Happy Labor Day weekend from Sterling on Sunday. It's Sterling every damn night. At least we're not the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Lesbians in space. In space.
Uncharacteristically jealous.
I'd say, what have you done with my girlfriend?
Girlfriend?
Oh, go on, head for the hills.
I'm going nowhere. Neither are you.
Good evening. It's a live radio show on the Labor Day weekend. There's no other live radio show available. This is it. It's Sterling every damn Sunday. Welcome to the big show. It's an honor, 37 past the hour, as we're driving across 80, up and down I-4, the 5, the 101, the 91, the 90, 75. Yes, I know about you on 75. Donna in New Jersey, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday. Hi.
That's not funny, Walt. Listen, on your question, and I'm from Philly, so that's even worse.
Oh, my God. What, you're from Philly, and it's why does it say Jersey if you're from Philly?
Because we moved to the country, to Mount Laurel, New Jersey, which is no more country than Chicago, probably. But if you're from Philly, it's the country.
If you're from Philly, that's the woods. That it's not even the country. You're in the heartland.
If you say so, Walt, if you say so. Yeah, as far as your tipping situation, I was just driving home from work, and I've been in the service industry most of my life. And, of course, you know, we're a rough crowd around here, so we kind of know the etiquette on different things, especially tipping. So as far as tipping goes, if you go to, like, an Applebee's or a diner, maybe you don't have diners out there, I don't know, but you go to a diner, the waitress takes your order. She actually, Walt, has to pay the gratuity. Say your bill's $30. She has to pay like 8-9% on that check. And if you don't tip her, of course, that's just lost money for her. If you go to a Chinese place or like a family-owned business, a pizza parlor, Chinese restaurant, so on, no, it's not required to tip. But just there is a difference there because, again, you know, I don't know if it's same with other states, but we're required to pay so much, you know, gratuity because, you know, the government has these 86,000 more IRS agents that are just waiting to pounce.
Donna, this is a revelation. Would you review that again? You have to pay in 8 or 9% on every check out of your own pocket?
yes, because they assume that you did get a tip on that.
Are you sure that isn't a Jersey Mafia thing? That isn't a kickback to the boys? Are you kidding me?
No, seriously. Yes. At the end of the night, when you say you work a shift, they take your whole total and they take a certain percent and they say, okay, this is what you made. And this is, you know, you should have gotten it, say, 18%. And I think it is 18%. So you got 18% on tips that we're going to declare that you made. Now, if you get 5 takeout orders and nobody tips you, you still got that revenue showing on your report, but you have you did not make 18%. You made 0%. So then you were actually paying to have that customer order that food.
Donna, this is a major revelation. I never knew this. I never heard it. This is true at all sit-down restaurants, right?
Correct.
Wow.
If you're a server, when you call the diner, you call the diner and you say, you know, I want 2 hamburgers, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't go into like an abyss database. It goes on that person who they give that order to. They say, okay, here's an order, just called in. You know.
Wow. I'm in shock and ashamed. I didn't know that, Donna. And you just drove home from your shift?
No, I'm retired. Actually,
so you made that up.
I work on a golf course.
You work on a golf course. Are you like at the 9th hole? That person?
Actually, it's weddings. It's a Ron Jaworski owned course.
Got it.
One of the perks is free golf, so I figure I could work 2 days a week on Saturday and Sunday.
Do they tip you?
Golf during the week. Sometimes, but mostly not.
But most importantly, Donna, how's my show?
I enjoy it. I always seem to catch it on the way home, and it's just been recently. I've only probably worked this job for probably 6 months. But you got this one segment on there that just really bothers me. It's that woman that tells the stories.
You don't have to listen to that, Donna.
Yeah, I understand.
But maybe you listen to it to the end to make sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, Jersey, thanks.
It's either that or KYW News Radio. So
well, how many times do you need to hear the weather? How many times do you need to hear the weather?
Yes. You're Donna, on 1210. You're on 1210 here in Philly.
Right. I'm on 1210 in Philly, and I live in Newtown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm a local, buddy. Hey, Donna, thank you very much for being on the radio. Thanks for listening to Sterling every damn Sunday. Nancy in St. Louis, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Walter. I'm calling to tell you, you're talking about tipping. I hate tipping.
Yes.
I hate it. I think it's ridiculous. You shouldn't have to. I do it because it's expected. But there were times when I wouldn't, and the people with me would be kind of embarrassed that I didn't. But so I do. But I'm telling you,
Nancy, advice. Now we have this whole new wave of tipping. Tipping for a cup of coffee, tipping at the cupcake store, tipping at the croissant store, tipping at the drive-thru. How do you deal with that?
Well, I haven't done those. But I don't think I would tip, and I think I'd pretend I didn't know I was supposed to. I think that's how I'd get around that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. All right, listen, Nancy, thank you for listening to this giant radio show. I appreciate it. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. The new world of tipping and the horror show that is presented from an etiquette standpoint. When do I tip? How much? And if I'm staying in a hotel, probably tomorrow you're going to check out of a hotel. 3-day weekend, 4-day weekend, what do you leave? Or, like, what do you leave? Because for years, I never left anything. And it wasn't because I was nasty. It was just like I didn't know how much. I didn't think about it. I tried to leave the room clean. I figure if I'm cleaning up the room before they come in, that's my labor tip. I'm giving a work for tip. 888-688-WALT. Live on a Sunday night. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling, a night inspired by a hot girl.
So it says here that you hit your husband with a chair. Why'd you hit him with a chair? Because I couldn't lift the table.
Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell the story about a case I was involved in. I was a bit player and didn't know what happened until 20-something years later. Probably around 2003, 2004, I was a detective working in the NYPD's Auto Crime Division, and I get a phone call from a district attorney that I worked a lot of cases with. And he says, I need you to do me a favor. And I go, what's up, Bill? What can I do for you? He goes, I need you to find somebody for me. Now, I was always good at finding witnesses for this guy. Whenever he had an upcoming trial and he subpoenaed someone and he didn't think they'd show up or he couldn't find them, he would reach out to me and I would drag them into court for him. So I said, what do you got, a witness? He goes, no, more like a murder suspect. That really got my attention. I go, well, tell me more. He says, there's this guy, Justin Bressman. He's a suspect in a homicide of a construction worker in Manhattan last year. I said, okay. He says, the thing is, he's just kind of disappeared and no one knows what's happened to him. He goes, now the family is really making a lot of noise and they definitely suspect foul play. He goes, and I'm not sure if that's a smokescreen to kind of, you know, keep him underground or something really happened to this guy. I go, well, what do you got on it? He goes, all I know is his car turned up burnt in Brooklyn 6 weeks after the homicide. I said, all right, well, what's the timeline on this? He goes, well, take your time. He goes, because I think the FBI is going to take this case from me anyway. And I says, well, why do you want me to look for this guy then? He goes, because if you find the guy and I can charge him with homicide, the FBI can't take the case from me. I said, fair enough. So for 2 weeks, I searched for Justin Bressman and I couldn't find a thing. I called Bill back about 2 weeks later and I said, listen, Bill, it's one of two things. I go, either this guy is dead and buried or he doesn't want to be found. He goes, fair enough. He goes, I'm going to hand the case off to the FBI. So a year or two later, Bill Greenbaum retires from the Manhattan DA's office. 2 years after that, I retired from the NYPD, and I found out about a year and a half ago, my friend Bill Greenbaum had recently passed. So I was reflecting on the time I spent with him, and that case came to mind. So I Googled the name Justin Bressman, and I couldn't believe the story I found. It turns out that this Justin Bressman was suspected in shooting a construction worker at a construction site with a .22 silencer-equipped pistol in 2003. 6 weeks later, Justin Bressman disappears. It turns out that Justin Bressman was associated with a guy by the name of Christian Tarantino. The feds suspect Tarantino paid Justin Bressman $35,000 to eliminate this construction worker who was blackmailing him after Tarantino was involved in a series of armored car robberies in Long Island. Tarantino also murdered his business associate and dumped his body in a chest into the Atlantic Ocean. Christian Tarantino was charged and convicted with 3 homicides and serving federal prison time. To this date, Justin Bressman's body has not been found. So for more interesting NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
Vic Ferrari's books are great, especially on the beach, on the airplanes. This is like the best bathroom reading, Vic Ferrari. All right, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's 53 past the hour. It's a live radio show. And there is Dorothy S. at Syracuse University, shockingly in a dorm at an $80,000 a year school that is not air conditioned. Would you please explain to me how it is possible to have a non-air conditioned dorm these here days? You and I are talking about tipping. You and I are talking about tipping. And how confusing it is for me to know when to tip, not to tip,
I have decided I am not tipping at a fast food anything. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Bill in Illinois, welcome to the Giant Network Radio Show.
Hi there, close enough.
So, well, wait. Now, this has happened again. Where are you, Bill?
I'm Bob.
Ah.
Belleville.
Okay, Bob in Belleville, welcome to the show. I apologize. Hi, Bill. Bob.
That's all right.
Okay, Ace.
So it's been a while since I've been in Europe, but my understanding was cafes, restaurants, et cetera, your tip was included in your bill. You know, if you counted by toothpicks or something else and you wanted to tip, well, that was something else. Now, the gal that called earlier about mandatory tip outs, my daughter, I experienced that where people didn't tip on to-go orders and nobody wanted to answer the phone. So my personal experience, if it's IHOP, Denny's, you know, Applebee's, something where you have a personal interaction, then yeah, my barber, well, stylist, you know, yes. Captain D's lost me. You know, you go into Captain D's, you order, you pick up your food at the counter, you dispose of your trash, you get your own drinks. You know, I had a bill, and it seemed excessively high. I look at it, and there was a tip included. Well, that was my last trip to Captain D's. Now, I was at the ballpark recently, taking advantage of the happy hour expensive. Well, I think it was $5.76 for a 12-ounce beer. And on the screen is tip. So, yes, I agree with you. It's become excessive. And
if I'm pouring my own soda, dumping my own trash, why the hell should I tip?
Exactly. And that's why Captain D's lost me as a customer.
And where the what stadium do you get a $5.76 beer? It's more like $15.
Bush Stadium before the first pitch.
It's more like $15. Hey, Bob, good solid feedback. I appreciate it. You're a premium caller. You deserve a tip. Thanks very much for calling Sterling every damn Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. No, I'm not going to tip if I'm standing in line to ask for somebody on the other side of a counter to bring me a bag of something that I will have to take out and ultimately throw away from my car. Dorothy S., you're going to have a great week. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
All right, coming up in just seconds, great clickbait. Exactly what not to do when you and I are checking out of a hotel room at the end of this three-day weekend. Plus, secret information for those of us who just prefer to be alone. Now, Dr. Dave Weather.
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control. Dave's not.
Coming in from another galaxy, it's the legendary Dave Scott, well-known Canadian. Dave Scott, this new book, what's it called? Ultimatum or what?
Imminent.
This new book,
Imminent, Walt.
This new book, Imminent, is getting so much press and so much attention. It's as though this single book is giving the entire inquiry of America and Congress legitimacy. This book
But you revealed something in the rumor mill about this book that no one else has mentioned, which is it's possible that the author of this book, what's his name?
Luis Elizondo.
Did not work where he said he worked.
There is that rumor. That is very true.
All right. Very true. Why don't you frame this for us, and then go ahead and please share with us what you had in mind. But frame this book and this author and the controversy about it as only you can.
Well, Luis Elizondo is somebody who is a controversial figure in the UFO world, and that's because in 2017 he came out saying he ran a program called ATIP, which was the Pentagon Secret UFO Program. Now, there are people coming out, including scientist Eric Davis and former head of the OSAP program, which was also a secret UFO program, saying that Elizondo never ran the project. However, before he died, late Senator Harry Reid actually wrote an article saying that Elizondo was the head of the program. So, I mean, there's this big controversy of whether or not he actually did it. I think he did. Personally, if you were to ask my opinion, I think he ran the program, and there are a lot of people trying to bury him because they don't want these secrets coming out, Walt.
Because you and I can't verify it either way. It's an easy thing to bury by somebody who looks official in an official suit, speaks seriously in a monotone, and says, gee, we don't know him, we haven't heard it, we've studied our records, we can't find him. That's a lot of crap.
Well, here's another interesting part about that. A few years ago, the Pentagon was caught erasing his profile and emails. In fact, they went to an inspector general and filed a complaint about it. And that one is still going into court. And, the Pentagon even went as far as to try to erase his memory from working on the UFO program.
Amazing. Name of the book again?
Imminent, The Quest for UFOs.
Imminent, The Quest for UFOs. I think this is the UFO book to read. Well, there you are, Dave Scott, in Canada, where you're completely not affected by Labor Day. Congratulations. What news, what stories would you like to share tonight?
Well, it's actually a romantic night here, Walt, because The stars are shining up above. I'm sitting with my family right now, having a campfire in our fire pit, about to roast some marshmallows. And I thought we'd talk a little bit about Imminent today, including who I just mentioned, Eric Davis. Now, Eric Davis was allegedly a scientist who met with a famous general to talk about UFOs in Las Vegas. And the late Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon, actually signed a non-disclosure agreement to allow himself to view these, what they call the Wilson-Davis notes about the UFO program and what the U.S. had to hide. Well, it's come out after years of denial that Davis said, I don't know what anybody's talking about. I don't know about these notes, anything like that. Well, he just admitted just a couple of days ago that the notes were real, and that he had actually wrote them. And it's because of the audacity of the bastard children of Edgar Mitchell, who in his estate released the notes, that it has come to fruition that these UFO notes are actually true.
When did he say it wasn't true?
For years he denied they existed, until a researcher named Grant Cameron out of Winnipeg, Manitoba, was given the notes by an Australian former Rear Admiral named James Rigdon, who was very much in the Australian UFO part, who passed them over to Grant. And about, 3-4 years ago, Grant released the papers to the public. And Davis came out saying Grant Cameron is a loser, he shouldn't be trusted. Now, I find it funny because Grant Cameron is not only a good friend of mine, but one of my idols in this field. So he threw all the blame on Edgar Mitchell's children for breaking Dr. Mitchell's NDA, giving them to James Rigney, who gave them to ufologist Grant Cameron, and now we're in a big mess. But Davis finally has admitted that the notes are true. He wrote them. And these notes are so important, Walt. They were actually introduced as evidence at the congressional hearings on UFOs last year.
It's just the squirreliest bunch. It's just the wackiest bunch of people, because they all seem to want to be the one to say, yes, it's true, and here it is. And they always stop at the last word. Yes, it's true, and here it... just kidding. It's very, very frustrating. Very frustrating. Dave Scott, when you were guest starring with Connie on Sterling Every Damn Night, how was that for you? Did you enjoy that?
It was absolutely incredible. And you know what? The one thing that I really enjoyed about it, Walt, is it had been a long time since, you know, that I was broadcasting and hosting a radio of that caliber. And I would love to do it again. It was so much fun.
You know what I find that's a disconnect between my talent, my abilities, and the reality of doing this show is I have never worked with a better team of people. The production director, the chief engineer, the sound shaper, Sean. These are the best I've ever worked with in my way too long career. And I'm like, these guys are a lot better than I am.
Well, you know what? In order to be a great host, you need a great team behind you. And that's one thing that I learned very much, Walt. You are the pro's pro of radio. And every accolade that you receive from the Midnight Misfits is definitely worth it.
You're a great man. I look forward to you guest starring again, which means I'm going to get time off. I appreciate that. Now, who's the kid I'm hearing in the background? Who's that?
That is my little grandson named Jasper. He is about 20 months old, and he's about to enjoy his first marshmallow.
What a lucky man you are.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
What a lucky man you are to get to witness a first in another human being, in a precious human being. And I may be of a certain age, and I have a 12-year-old daughter. And I suspect you and I are the same age, by the way. And I have a 12-year-old daughter. And whenever I'm out with her, at some point, somebody is going to look and hi, da-da-da-da, and I'll say, I'm the father. And they usually say something completely stupid like, oh, was she a surprise? And I
right.
look at them every time, and I say the same thing every time. I say, she was not only not a surprise, she is a blessing. She is the greatest blessing of our lives. And
I don't blame you.
You know, I thank God every day for her. Well, you're a great friend of the show. You're a great friend of mine. Dave Scott, thank you for being on Sterling Every Damn Night. Enjoy that marshmallow. It is 12:16. It is 16 past the hour on the East Coast, 9:16 on the West Coast at KFBK. What a great night we're having. This is the Labor Day weekend. It's a three-day holiday, and this is the tricky night of a three-day holiday. Most of my life, I lived alone with the cats, because when you live alone after you're 22, you're obligated to have cats. If you have like a lizard or a monitor, people don't want to come to your home. But if you have cats, you have cats, I'd love to see your cats. Or if they lie, if they don't look like cats, and then they say, I'm allergic to cats. That's a lie. That's like, I'm allergic to peanuts. Really, when I was in school, no one was allergic to peanuts. Everybody ate peanut butter and jellies. How is it possible now that everybody's allergic to peanuts? These are lies. Yeah, I know they're processed differently. Well, I guess we have to review this and discuss it at length. But I want to share and talk about the experience of being alone on a three-day weekend and how you and I are not lonely. We're not lonely. This is the best night of the week. There it is. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by George Carlin.
And the greatest arrogance of all, save the planet. What? Are these people kidding me? Save the planet? We don't know how to take care of ourselves yet. We haven't learned how to help one another. We're going to save the planet? I am getting tired of that. I'm tired of Earth Day. I'm tired of these self-righteous environmentalists. I'm tired of these white, liberal, bourgeois, liberal, white people who think the only thing wrong with this planet is there aren't enough bicycle paths.
Lesbians. In space. In space.
It turns out I didn't like men.
Well, I don't think I like men either.
I mean, I'm a lesbian.
Oh, I mean, I hate people.
22 past the hour, 22 past the hour, live radio show. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling Every Damn Sunday. Now, the rest of the week, I'm also on the air from 9 to midnight on the 50,000-watt blowtorch known as WPHT in Philadelphia, which is brilliantly run by David Yadgaroff and supervised by Jeff Salarno, who really should give me a lot more time and attention, and Drew Armstrong. Drew, hi, I'm on one of your radio stations. Never heard from you. Never acknowledged. I got big numbers on WBAP in Dallas. Time to go on KRLD. Let me just save you all a lot of time. You know, these are people who used to rush me at conventions to try to get jobs. And my job was to rush out of there as quickly as possible. Because my default mode, maybe you can relate to this, my resting bitch face is, don't bother me. My resting bitch face is, I see you, I don't want to talk to you. When I first ran into Rich Zeoli here, at WPHT, who does afternoon drives on WPHT, great host, phenomenal host. But he gave me one look, like, I know you're here, Walter. It's very nice. I am your friend. Let's not talk. Perfect. That's the sort of friendship I imagine. Does this make sense to you, Midnight Misfits? Does this make sense to you? I want you to like me. I want you to be available to be my friend. I want you to be my friend, but I don't want to actually talk to you. I don't want to professionally, profoundly acknowledge you. I see you over there. I know who you are. You know who I am. That's enough. Every year of my life, maybe this is true for you. Every year of my life, I have fewer friends. And it's not because I do bad things to them. In fact, I'd have to say, I think over time, which could be time, and you know, the passage of time, and the elimination and the passage of time, I think I'm a better friend all the time. But I have far fewer friends than when I was a senior in high school. I have far fewer friends than when I started out in radio. I have far fewer friends than 10 years ago when I used to give parties and like 100 people would show up. Now, you know, if I'm honest with myself, the number of people I could call to help me if my car is towed is 3. And most of them have the first name of Neil. Strangely, my best friends all seem to have the best first name of Neil. That's about it. That's how do I define a friend? The way I define a friend in junior high and high school and college is who would sign my yearbook? Who would go out for a hamburger with me? Who would get a slice of pizza with me? Who would lend me $10 for gas? Those were my definitions. Today, my definition of a friend is a little more complicated. It's if I call you up for lunch and you'll go out with me, we have a good relationship. If I call you up for lunch again and you still want to go out with me, now we're friends. Adulthood, I think, requires friendships require two lunches without tether, that there's no reason beyond the lunch. It's not a business relationship. You're not trying to have sex with them. Man or woman, I'm open-minded. Man or woman, I'm open-minded. Either way. I think that's the definition of a friendship in adulthood. Will they go out to lunch with you twice for no reason? Last weekend, I got to tell you this. This is still haunting me. Last weekend, in front of my house, there was a block party. Now, I find block parties offensive because why? Why? It blocks the block. If I have to get out and rush to CVS to get yet another prescription, I don't want you to block the block. I don't care why. There are the police horseshoes up there and all this. But they were out there. And I saw a row of lawn chairs in the street and a bunch of guys sitting there talking. And there was an empty chair. And I went and sat down. I never used to do that. I will never do it again because I'm always punished. I was punished for this casual attempt to be a friend. I go and I sit down, and I had Dunkin' Donuts coffee, which makes me very happy. I was already happy because I had Dunkin' Donuts coffee on a Saturday morning. Now I'm sitting there with the guys, you know? And, you know, I knew a few guy things. Like today I know that Ohio State, Penn State, and Syracuse University all won their games yesterday. Well, that's pretty big for me. Let me tell you, now I am delving into the world of sports. For me to know that, I'm way into the world of sports. Penn State, Syracuse, Ohio State, they all won. The reason I know all of those is because they all seem to touch my family members in a way that's too profound. I don't care. I could care less. But those teams won. Yes, I said Penn State. I sit there among these guys with that amount of knowledge of sports. And therefore, I couldn't talk to them about sports. What did I talk to them about? We all had children in elementary school, in middle school. I started talking about that. I started talking about our relationship with the teachers and the school system. One by one, I could see them peeling off until the guy next to me said, "Hey, can I get you something to drink?" I'm like, "Yeah, they got a Diet Coke." No, there was no Diet Coke. And then he disappeared. That was it. Now I'm sitting next to five empty chairs. And I was good. I behaved. When they said, "Hey, you're still in radio?" I said, "Yeah, I'm still in radio." And I didn't say another word. I didn't say I'm a host. I didn't say where they could listen. I kept my mouth shut. But you and I are misfits. We do not fit in, and that is why we are successful.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Alex Daddario.
Do you just look at my boobs?
I was not my intention. I didn't stare directly at them.
You're looking at them right now.
Now I did, because you were talking about them.
Happy Labor Day weekend. From Sterling on Sunday, and Sterling every damn night. And oh yeah, kiss summer goodbye. 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 Strippers on the loose, we're live, but we're not.
Baby Dolls, it's a bikini bar in Wichita. Very popular with the Wichita linemen who come in and make sure the power is running in that wonderful place. 4 years ago, a couple decided to go spend time at the bikini bar. And the woman's jealousy just couldn't get over all the lovely bikini-clad gals at this adult-type establishment on a beautiful North Arkansas in Wichita. She got mad, wanted her man to leave. They're arguing at the club. She picks up her cell phone. She's calling Buddy saying, "Yeah, he's still here. I got to get him out of here. I want him out of here now." They were arguing apparently for 2 hours. And the security at Baby Dolls Bikini Bar allowed them to continue arguing at the club. So we don't know how many consumables were enjoyed by the participants. One would hope this would be less than a sober exercise. Autumn Wheeler convicted for gunning down her man. First-degree murder. And solicitation to commit first-degree murder. Apparently she was looking for someone to do it for her. And unfortunately, didn't get any takers. Huh. Yeah. Do I want to kill this unhinged woman's man for $5,000 and a smile? No word on whether Joseph Wheeler, the victim in this case, was able to enjoy the champagne room. This dance is for you, Joe. We remember you. From the champagne room, this is Velo Hool. Sterling, every damn night.
It's such an honor to be with you because you're driving. You decided to take that three-day weekend and make it a two-day because you convinced your family, you know, maybe we should go home on Sunday and avoid the traffic. Meanwhile, you were just sick of the relatives. You were sick of the chores. On a family vacation, there's no rest for Dad. Dad has to work twice as hard, and worse than that, in unfamiliar surroundings. How does that dishwasher work? Therefore, the smart ones, the Midnight Misfits, you, we get to stay home. And, you know, Walter Sterling, I'm not afraid of being alone. I'm afraid of being with the wrong people. And I've learned that sometimes the only person that I can truly rely on is me. And I'd rather be alone than surrounded by, you know, a bunch of phonies. Can't stand it. And my curse as a loner, and I bet yours too, as a misfit, you and I can spot a phony in 2 seconds. My Jersey mother gave me really 2 gifts. And one of them was a little confidence, but the other thing that she gave me was, when we be with somebody, when we meet somebody new, and she would be talking to them for a short time, because she only talked to people for a short time. At some point later in the day, I'd say, well, gee, I liked Mr. Frank. Oh, he's a big phony. And she set my tuning fork as to who was a big phony. I think every New Jersey mother gives their child that gift. Philadelphia mothers, Brooklyn mothers, Boston mothers. Oakland, California mothers. Those are the ones who I think give their children that gift. Oh, they're a big phony. And some of us are just meant to be alone. That's who we are. It's okay. I'm my own best company. It took me a while to realize that, but it's true, and it's okay. My happiness does not depend on the number of friends I have, but on the quality of those friendships. That's what I have learned. And therefore, if I just pay attention to that, it's better to be alone than to compromise my values for the sake of fitting in. My energy is precious, and I choose to spend it wisely. How about you? It's important to remember that if you and I are introverts, that's how we're born. It isn't that you and I are antisocial. It isn't that you and I don't want to be with people. It's that it's very much on our terms. Extroverts, they're happy with all people. They're happy to go outside, shake hands. They're in the sales department. And they're different, and respect that. I want them to respect the fact that I can't do that right now. I need to be alone for a while. That's who you and I are. We gain energy from solitude. This is really hard for extroverts to even comprehend. When you and I say, no, I'll be alone this weekend. What are you doing this weekend? I'm going to hang out at my house. I'm going to watch Storage Wars, every opportunity, and Doctor Who. I'll watch Doctor Who, T.J. Lubinsky, Doctor Who, and every episode of Storage Wars that I can possibly view. Because you never know what's going to be in there. There could be a surprise. And the weirdest thing about Storage Wars, the show where they go into abandoned storage lockers, they say, abandoned storage lockers at the beginning. No, it's much sadder than that. They're not abandoned. some poor person died or they couldn't afford to keep up the payments. It's a tragic show. These are people picking over the bones of somebody's life. They couldn't afford to make the $70, $170 payment. It has sheriff's stickers all over it, which somehow magically disappear when the cameras show up. Those are seized storage lockers. There's no doubt it's okay to go through them. That's what's so sad about the show. But let's not think about that. Instead, let's look at the thrill of when one of the Storage Wars pickers, Storage Wars pickers, wow. I'm not good enough to say that three times. No, leave that to a 14-year-old. They always seem to have something in there that I think this is really valuable. I will have to take it to George at Mr. Pawn. I will have to take it to George at Mr. Antique Furniture, my friend. How the heck in all of these obscure California towns do they know all of the valuation assessment specialists for all these different products? They don't. The producers do. They don't. The producers do. But I love Storage Wars. Now, you want to write to me? I answer every email. And you want that recipe that you heard from JB Bakery about those miniature cheesecakes? I want those miniature cheesecake recipes. I will send it to you. Just send me an email, WalterMSterling@gmail.com, and I will send you this spectacular recipe for miniature cheesecakes, which is exactly what you and I with type 2 need, isn't it? Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night. Inspired by Richard Nixon.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the Al and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, The Fall of the Midnight Scorpions. Ro tidied up her meager belongings in the small room she'd claimed for herself on the upper level of the clinic. As she refolded a pile of clean laundry, someone knocked on the open door. She looked up to see Reggie standing in the doorway, his massive frame filling the narrow space. "I figured you probably weren't sleeping yet," he said. "Nope." "Should I even bother asking if you're worried about tomorrow?" She shrugged. "Okay, then." He crossed the room and towered over her, almost close enough to touch. "Maybe I didn't come in here to talk." She dropped the last shirt onto the stack. "Your concern is..." Reggie silenced her with a kiss, shoving her back against the wall. His hands gripped her shoulders and his tongue plunged into her mouth. After recovering from her initial surprise, she draped her arms around his waist and pulled him closer. He pushed forward, hitting her with his full weight. "I want to be with you tonight," he murmured against her lips. "I need you." Ro's heart pounded. Since their return, she'd been staying awake until all hours of the morning, finalizing her work, and she continued sleeping by herself. She hungered for Reggie's intimate touch, yet she wasn't without her reservations. "But the others are nearby." "I don't care. I'm sure they have their own worries about tomorrow." His kisses fluttered across her cheek and along the edge of her ear, his breath tickling the array of studs and hoops. "We need this." Attempting to ignore her burgeoning arousal, she looked around him to the single cot standing against the adjacent wall. "I don't know if the bed's large enough, especially with your big dumb muscles." He straightened and turned to the questionable piece of furniture. Without saying anything, he spun around and left the room. Ro tiptoed after him and peeked out into the hallway. When he reappeared, she burst into a fit of giggles. Reggie carried a second cot from his designated chambers under one arm. She stepped aside to let him maneuver it through the doorway, still snickering. He set the lightweight bed down on the floor and nudged it until it aligned with the other one. "There," he said, grinning at her. "Problem solved. You think of everything, don't you?" "I try." She bit the inside of her cheeks to keep from smiling too broadly and shook her head. "I guess you can stay," she said with a sigh. He shut the door and returned to her side. His hand rested on her back and he stared at her, the lighter flecks in his hazel eyes shimmering against the darker brown. "I didn't just come in here for sex," he said. "Though I guess I'd be lying if I said I didn't hope it would be the end result." She snorted and poked him in the ribs. "You're a real charmer, Reggie. We know what's awaiting us, and I didn't want to be alone. More importantly, I didn't want you to be alone." Ro opened her mouth to argue, then shut it when she lost herself in the sincerity of his gaze. "I suppose we might as well make ourselves comfortable." As she headed for the pair of cots, she pulled off her tank top and tossed it onto a nearby chair. He caught her before she reached her destination, wrapping his arms around her body from behind. "I missed you, Rosie," he said near her ear. His palms skimmed over her ribcage and stomach, leaving a trail of heat across her bare skin. "I missed being with you like this." Her head lolled to the side when he kissed her neck. "It's been less than a week." "Too long." His wide hands rose to cup her chest. "You can admit you missed me, too." "Don't be ridiculous." His searing fingerprints on his flesh lessened the conviction behind her words. "Say it," he demanded as he held her in place. "Fine," she said, trying to keep the longing out of her voice. I'm happy you're here." He loosened his grip on her and hooked his thumbs inside the waistband of her shorts and panties, jerking them down. Once undressed, Ro took the last few steps to the bed and lay on her side to face him. He removed his shirt, revealing the ridged planes of his chest and abs. The sight of him topless still made her mouth water. "Oh, I think I need to stop there for tonight. But you know you can always have more." That was an excerpt from my book, The Fall of the Midnight Scorpions, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling every damn night.